Good morning, church. It is a beautiful day, and here we are gathered by the Spirit's tether, bringing us together to worship. And what a wonderful way to begin our worship this morning by hearing this incredible prelude. If you're visiting with us this morning, a very heartwarming welcome goes out to you. We're glad you're here. We're glad we're here. In particular, I'd like to thank our hospitality team this morning, which consists of United States veterans. This is Veterans Weekend. A very, very heartfelt thanks to our veterans. And if that team and all veterans could just take a moment to stand, if you're able, we'd like to show our appreciation. This Sunday is also Stewardship Sunday. This is the Sunday in which we dedicate all the promises that we have made to God in terms of our offerings for next year as we invest in the future. An announcement about Love Gift Sunday. In addition to the suggested Love Gift Sunday gifts listed in the bulletin today, Urban Promise also welcomes gifts of wrapping paper, bows, tape, etc. for the families to use once they have selected their gifts. And these items can be brought along with the gifts on December 3rd. And also, if you are unable to attend worship on December 3rd, which is Love Gift Sunday, please bring your gift donations to St. John's office before that date. Thank you very much. Now is the time to put away our distractions. Now is the time to bring our whole lives into this space of worship. As we worship, pray, sing, and find ourselves transformed once again by an all-loving God, let us worship.
Thank you.
We are well aware of the darkness that pervades life. And we also know that Jesus Christ came into the world to shine light in the dark. Each one of us is a bearer of that Christ light. We are the ones with the task of bringing the Christ light into every corner of our lives and communities. Would you join with me now in our confession? Gracious God, faith is not something we can simply borrow from others. It is up to each one of us to nurture our faith, practice our faith, and ask that our faith be renewed. No one can do this for us. Forgive us, God, for the times we have depended upon others to represent our faith for us, for the times we have forfeited our responsibilities, hoping others will pick up the pieces, for the moments when we have stayed quietly in the background, waiting for someone else to speak, and we did not. Restore in us, ever-sustaining God, an active, growing, learning, curious, and vibrant faith. Lead us in the paths of right living and right serving, and save us from resignation, withdrawal, and apathy. We pray for your wisdom and renewing power. Amen. As painful as it is to look at ourselves with open eyes and open hearts, we also realize there is a better way to live, a more centered life, one that has been set free from unnecessary burdens. We are grateful for God's forgiveness, wisdom, and a new beginning. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. As we continue today with our fall worship theme, Back to School with Jesus, we have yet another parable to consider, this one from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. This one about virgins and oil lamps awaiting the bridegroom. As I read, you're invited to consider, who do the virgins and bridegroom represent? What does the oil lamp represent? And what are the consequences? So let us listen with open minds and hearts as we receive these words from the scriptures. God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the bridegroom. Five were silly and five were smart. The silly virgins took lamps, but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they all fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, "He's here, the bridegroom's here. Go out and greet him." The 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, "Our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil." They answered, "There might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own." They did. But while they were out buying oil, the bridegroom arrived. When everyone who was there to greet him had gone into the wedding feast, the door was locked. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door, saying, "Master, we're here. Let us in." He answered, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you. So stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive." This ends our scripture reading for today.
Thank you. I'd like to invite anybody else that would like to come sit up with us up here to join us for a story. And you guys did a great job. Thank you for rocking out and singing that great song today. So, did you ever really, really look forward to something and then fall asleep and miss it? Once upon a time, a bunch of friends of mine and I were teaching a marching band camp, and it was a really long, exhausting week. But we made it all the way till that Friday, and that Friday, the Muppet movie was opening, and we all wanted to go see the Muppet movie. So we said, okay, we're all gonna go and get tickets and go. But the 7 o'clock show was all sold out. And we said, oh, we really want to see this movie. So we got tickets for the 9 o'clock show. But we were really tired because we had been working all week. And you know what happened when we went to the movie? Yes, every single one of us fell asleep and none of us saw the movie. Isn't that silly? Well, Jesus told a story about something just like that. It was about a wedding. People getting ready for a wedding and waiting for the groom to come. The man that's getting married. Yeah. And a bunch of women, they all were waiting and they fell asleep and they missed it, and then they didn't get to go to the party because they were not ready. Now, we talked this morning about being the light, right? And all the different ways we can be the light. But part of that is being ready when people need us to be the light, right? And making sure we made our lights this morning. We had to make sure our light is shining and it's got enough batteries in it, or it's got enough oil in the lamp to keep it shining so that everybody knows that we can be that light. Right, so let's remember that we want to stay awake and stay alert and be the light to the other people out there. Okay? All right. Thank you, God, for giving us light, for helping us be the light for other people. And thank you for teaching us the prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
No one likes to run out of essentials. A predicted snowstorm will send droves of people to the supermarket for bread, eggs, and milk. The pandemic caused a shortage of toilet paper, and stores had to limit our purchases. That's because I'm sure that during the pandemic, there were people out there who would have purchased every single roll of toilet paper on the shelves. There is something about scarcity that can easily send human beings into a panic. It's not fun to run out of things. My father once owned a car with a broken gas gauge. How do you think that worked out? I was not happy. Still, on the whole, we do not like to run out of things. We need things like food, water, gasoline, medicine to keep us going. We often don't think very much about running low on faith, however. We take it for granted. We think it never runs out. We don't even seem to do a checkup or take stock, a spiritual inventory. It's not very often that we ask ourselves, how am I doing with my faith? We can be spiritually depleted and hardly notice. That is until we hit an iceberg. A wake-up call. The 10 bridesmaids, or virgins, mentioned in today's scripture all had oil lamps. They were all poised to go and meet the bridegroom. They were all ready to join the wonderful wedding festivities. But the bridegroom was terribly late in showing up. So much so that the bridesmaids had to keep their lamps lit well beyond what they expected. 5 of those bridesmaids brought extra oil. 5 did not. If we consider Jesus the bridegroom, we can consider the bridesmaids members of the church. Like us, they were all waiting for Jesus' return. And like us, they were waiting for the day when the world would celebrate the culmination of Jesus' second coming, a time of peace on earth for all, a time of health and wholeness for all, a time when swords would indeed be reshaped into plowshares. Matthew's community of Jesus' followers had begun to reckon with the fact that Jesus' return would probably be delayed. Hence, the bridegroom's lateness. But still, their faith held that he would eventually appear, even if it meant that reappearing in the midst of the world might happen without a lot of fanfare. Jesus might appear to communities of his followers through their gathered life.
But what do you do in the meantime? How do you prepare? How do you become ready? What is clear is that the current state of the world is in deep turmoil. You don't need me to tell you that. Just think about what is happening now in Israel, in Gaza, and how that disruption and that incredible disorientation is affecting the world. It's as if waves are moving out in all directions. There is so much angst, so much fear, so much incivility, so much in the way of anxiety, so much resentment, so much toxicity. How do you and I prepare in the midst of that? How do you and I hold steady in the midst of so many forces that seek to drag you and I down into the pit of despair? How do we as Christians keep our lamps burning when so much around us seeks to snuff them out? And if you and I do not have the oil, the spiritual resources to keep our faith on fire, to keep our faith alive, to kindle the flames of kindness and peace, civility and dignity, where does that leave us? Now is not the time to be running on empty. Now is not the time to let our lamps go dim. Now is not the time to be swept away in currents of cynicism or apathy and hatred. As the great African-American theologian and social activist Howard Thurman wrote, and I quote, "Jesus rejected hatred because he saw that hatred meant death to the mind, death to the spirit, death to communion with his Father. And without resupplying our faith, as we think of the bridesmaids who did not bring that extra oil with them, we run the risk of our better lights fading in the face of so much dis-ease, disorder. We stand the chance of being sucked into an epidemic of moral and ethical chaos. What can we do? How can we keep our lamps burning bright in such a dark time? I'd like to offer some possibilities. First, and this is central, prayer. I have a friend whose emphasis on prayer has dramatically shifted over time. He used to think prayer was simply asking God for what you wanted. God as more of an impersonal dispenser. And he has now come to believe that prayer is more like God awareness. God awareness. Knowing God is close. For my friend, God is no longer a concept. You can believe in a concept, but will that fill your lamp? Will an idea alone fill your lamp? Will a concept alone fill your soul? Prayer is so much about awareness. When you find a peaceful place to reflect, to turn down the voices, to quiet the rambling voices that are running around in your head, to read from scripture or a devotional, you are creating space for God to show up in your life. Just don't do something. Just stand there. Let go of the frenetic pace. God is usually not in the habit of beating the door of your soul down to get in. You and I have to create that opportunity, that space for that still quiet voice of the Holy to enter. It's a very tender thing. If you take that time and create that space in your life, God will enter. The second thing I'd like to offer this morning in terms of feeding your faith, replenishing your oil, is to spend time within intentional community. By this, I don't mean attending social hour, though that certainly has its place. I'm talking about something different. By intentional community, I'm talking about participating in groups in which things that matter can be engaged well. Our Wednesday evening adult education time offers such a venue. Let me explain. Last Wednesday, we talked about this very text that we are focusing on today. And we talked about how to hold steady in the face of so much evil in the world. And how to keep our lamps burning bright, which took us into a conversation about evil. And it got deep. Not only were we engaging worthy topics of faith, we were doing something just as important. We were getting to know one another in ways beyond talking about what restaurant we go to. In a culture that is starving for meaningful community, we can offer ways of knowing one another, being known by one another, which moves us closer to spiritual maturity, moves us closer to respect and affection for each other. People will always say they want a warm and welcoming church, but they don't want a shallow church either. They don't want communities that play church. They want to connect with the living God. I recently read a book about a young man whose grandmother was a very devout person of faith. She died, and her grandson was unchurched. Didn't know the first thing about church. And he went into a deep inner turmoil. One night, he showed up at his grandmother's church. It was for a Bible study. He came because he wanted to find God. And he went to tell the group there that night that he thought that this group could help him connect to God. The members of the group, however, seemed to shrug their shoulders. They didn't seem to know how to help this young man. Connecting with God is more than doing churchy things. The final thing I'd like to suggest as a way to combat cynicism, anger, and despair, a way to keep your lamp burning brightly, is to give yourself to something that you enjoy that serves others. It could be as simple as checking in on a neighbor or serving meals to those who so desperately count on them or visiting the sick. I will tell you that when you serve, a holy exchange takes place. Someone in need connects with another human being, and suddenly sacred time and sacred space appear. How often are we to refill our lives of faith? Imagine filling your car's gas tank just once and expecting it to never run dry. To keep your life lamp burning bright requires a habit of continually renewing your life in prayer, continually investing in community, and committing yourself to ongoing service. Three basic things. No one who is really alive in God graduates from the Jesus life. There's no sitting on the sidelines. There's no retirement. There's no drifting along. Membership in the body of Christ is like a gym membership for the soul. You have to put in the work. You have to work the spiritual muscles of prayer. community, service. The end of the parable of the 10 bridesmaids appears harsh. The 5 who ran out of oil eventually purchased oil, but it was too late. They missed the joy, the celebration, the opportunity to be at the wedding with Jesus, because they were too busy and too distracted, panicking, trying to buy oil. So keep refilling your faith. Keep burning your life lamps brightly. It will help so much in such a dark time as this. And that is good news. Amen.
As we move into a time of prayer, there are some joys and concerns to lift up. First, some joys. Don Hunsinger had heart valve replacement surgery, and he is home and doing well with his wife, Lynn, caring for him. We have a happy milestone birthday to Scott Brown. Here's to many more years of living strong, from his wife, Sandy. Pastor Addy will be back with us next Sunday, November 19th, and we all look forward to that. There are some concerns as well. Prayers for Bob Krause, father of Sarah Hogan and grandfather of of Katie and Danny. He's in Lehigh Valley Hospital dealing with a variety of health issues, including dementia. Prayers also for Nancy Herring, Don Atkiss's sister, who is having serious complications following surgery. Prayers for Judy Wrights, for her health. Prayers also for the family of Tammy Forey, who died last week. She was the longtime neighbor of Ann and Eric Kinsey, who was only 54 and passed away suddenly. And now, if you will join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we gather here today, we thank you for this beautiful fall day. And for this opportunity to be present and peacefully worship you this day, this opportunity to learn from you through this community, this opportunity to bathe in the love and care you show us through one another, this opportunity to be renewed in faith and spirit so we may be your light in the world. Loving God, you sent Jesus to be our greatest teacher. Yet as we digest the daily news, especially that coming out of the Middle East about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and as we process the events and interactions of our own lives, it's clear that a great many, if not most people, have not learned the lessons you have been trying to teach us. Many refuse to hear your message and call. And we confess that we who are to be your disciples and a light of wisdom, hope, and love to the world, we too struggle at times to understand and integrate and live your lessons in our lives. Loving God, we ask that you bless us with love and understanding and the wisdom to tend to our oil so that we may always be prepared and we may have the faith, strength, and fortitude to be your lovely shining light in the world. Loving God, we know from your teachings that you love and care and watch over all of us every day. We ask that you comfort and bless those among us who are suffering or struggling today. We lift up Tammy Forey and others who have left us. We ask that you comfort and bless with your healing presence their families and other loved ones who are grieving. We ask your comfort and courage and healing presence for those who are sick and for their families. And so we lift up Bob Krause, Nancy Herring, and Judy Wrights. Loving God, we know you share in our joys that flow from your many blessings. And so we lift up and celebrate with Scott Brown as he celebrates a big milestone birthday. And we lift up Don Hansinger as he celebrates a new lease on life, and pray for a speedy recovery. We also lift up Pastor Addie as we look forward to her return next week and pray that her sabbatical has been peaceful, insightful, and has renewed her spirit. Loving God, we know you hear all the prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, that you hear every name we speak or contemplate in prayer. Please hear those names and prayers now as we silently address them to you. Loving God, we thank you for hearing every one of our prayers with love and compassion, and for answering them with love and compassion in ways compatible with your divine will and grace. We lift up our prayers to you now. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite Karen Methley to come forward, chairperson of stewardship here at St. John's.
Good morning. On behalf of the Stewardship Committee, I would like to thank all of you who returned your covenant card. And since we had something new this year, thank you for those of you who answered the new questions. Shortly, we will dedicate these cards along with our offering. And this dedication represents a symbol of that together we sustain St. John's and do the work of God. But wait, there's good news. You can still hand in a covenant card. The Stewardship Committee will truly be glad to hear from more of you. So thank you again, and thank you in the future.
I invite you all to rise and sing the offering response as our offering is brought forward.
Thank you.
Almighty and all generous God, we offer these gifts and these commitment cards, trusting in your future for us and for the world. Use these gifts and use us as your ambassadors of love in a world that is deeply hurting, deeply broken and divided. May we become those agents of healing, knowing that your spirit flows through us and flows through these gifts. Bless them, bless us, and bless the world you so, so love. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.